You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to In Search Of. We're your host, Ashton and Sam. We're two accountants who binge podcasts by day and TV by night. Keep listening to find what you've been in search of.
All right. Hi, Sam.
Hey, Ashton. What's up?
Not much. We are talking about, we've got two Tennessee cases. We've got Janet Gale March and Summer Wells, and we'll be back next week with like our original content, which we're still working through themes today or currently, but I was thinking of themes today. I know you said you were too. So we'll have something before next Monday, but I've been enjoying these cases that we've been doing. I feel like the research is fun.
Yeah.
I don't know how you feel about it, but it's, I don't know. I've enjoyed it. It's, I can see why Crime Junkie and My Favorite Murder, you know, they can just pop these babies out.
Yeah. It's a lot quicker when you can research and come up with your own notes and just go from there instead of listening to a whole podcast.
Yes. But you know, we don't want to get away from our original In Search Of. So we'll be back with some more content. We'll be thinking of ideas. If you have ideas, send them to us. But we are going to cover two more Tennessee cases, and then we'll eventually branch out. But I'll go first, and I will cover the missing and, I put in quotations, murdered. We're just going to assume. Okay. So, and also we did this last night, but the audio was so bad. So we're doing this again. So we know each other's stories, but Sam is a good podcasting partner and she's going to bear with me and do another one. So here we go. Okay. I feel weird like retelling you this story, but it's okay. You're not the only one I'm telling this story to. Hopefully there's other people listening.
I'll pretend like I've never heard it.
Okay. All right. So on August 15th, 1996, Janet March went missing. Her husband, Perry March, said that they had gotten in an argument that night and Janet had left him and the children behind for a 12-day vacation. She was never seen again. So that's why I say, in quotations, murdered, because, you know, we can only assume at this point. So who was Janet March? She was born Janet Gale Levine on February 20th, 1963. She was born and raised in Nashville. Her dad was a prominent lawyer in town. And after graduating from USN, which is the University School of Nashville, she went to Michigan to study art. And then she would later become an illustrator for children's books in Nashville. who is Perry March. He met Janet while he was studying at Michigan. When he was a kid, his mother had died under strange circumstances. His father, Arthur, stated it was from some type of shock after taking Darvin for a head injury she had suffered, but death certificates state it was an accidental overdose, so many people from the community assumed it was suicide, because a lot of times when they called things like an accidental overdose back in that day, it basically meant a suicide. Nonetheless, Perry was extremely smart and athletic, and he got his degree in Asian studies while he was in Michigan. So Perry and Janet moved to Chicago after graduation, but Janet wanted to come back to Nashville, so her parents paid for Perry to go to Vandy Law School. Janet eventually proposed to Perry because she got tired of waiting for him to make the move. She proposed to him at Percy Warner Park, which is a popular park here in Nashville. A lot of people go on hikes. It's the one with, like, the really big stairs up the middle, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I think so, too. They got married in 1987 and settled in Forest Hills, and I pulled the house information just to hear how ridiculous this house is. It was built in 1995. Has 8 bedrooms, 5 baths, and it's 5,240 square feet on 4 acres. Its estimated value is $2.3 million, and it sold in 1997 for $727,000. So I'm assuming after everything went down, and when did she go missing? 96. You know, they probably sold the house, and nothing's ever happened with it since. I couldn't really, like, see any actual pictures of the house, but maybe one day if we ever do field trips, we can, like, go see the way down. We can go see this house. We can go to all the little places. So after graduating from Vandy, Perry got a job with Bassberry and Sims, which they're, like, a very popular, I don't know, common law firm here in Nashville. A lot of, like, Sam and I's clients use this law firm, so we see their paperwork, like, or we see their names on a lot of paperwork, so we are familiar with this law firm. But Janet and Perry had 2 children, Samson, who was born in 1999, and then I'm gonna try to do better because in our first original recording I struggled so bad with this girl's name. So, and you and I talked about it, Sam, so you can help me. So I was saying Sephora, which is not right. It's Zipporah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Zipporah. Okay.
Yeah.
Zipporah. Yeah. I'm not going to spell it because I butchered that also. But anyways, Zipporah was born in 1994 and she was named after Perry's late mother. So she had a, you know, pretty unique name. And I mentioned this yesterday, how I was, like, stalking them on Instagram. Mm. She was easy to find because, like, how many people have that name? But
right.
I mean, they seem to be, like, normal kids, like, and they're not kids, they're basically our age. But I think the son is, like, really smart and does all these, like, videos, and I think he's, like, an engineering creates things and does YouTube videos on it. I didn't watch any. And then I'm not sure what she does, but I also forgot to mention this too about Janet. So, like, clearly Perry was very smart because he, like, you know, went to law school, whatever, did all that. And Janet was actually very smart too. She had created a collapsible child's, like, high chair, I think, some, like, a chair, like, that collapsed, and she had it patented, but then never, like, did anything with it. So they definitely, like, had, like, the brains,
like, entrepreneurial and
yes, exactly. So anyways, in the 90s they started to have marriage problems. In 1991 Perry had been accused of sexually harassing a paralegal at Bass, Berry & Sims. He, there was like anonymous letters left on this woman's desk, and they were like very like sexual. And so to figure out who was doing it, they set up a hidden camera and caught Perry. And once he was caught, the paralegal quit because she felt like Bass, Berry & Sims was not handling the situation appropriately. She was angry and that they gave him the choice to resign or get fired. They also let him take some time to make the decision. And I did like read about this, how I think still to this day, like they don't like Bass, Berry & Sims, like don't talk about this situation. So just very interesting, but it clearly has like not slowed down their business. Cause like you and I see them all the time.
Well,
so
lawyers know how to do stuff like that.
Yeah. Defend themselves.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So they eventually settled on an agreement that Perry would pay her $25,000. And I think he only ended up paying her like half. I don't think he ever paid her the full. So once he was let go from that law firm, he got a job at his father-in-law's practice. His wife and in-laws did not know about the sexual harassment at the time, obviously, because I don't think they would have given him the job if they knew. Later, Perry would move into an apartment downtown as their marriage continued to worsen. So they like had been fighting a lot. And they went to counseling, and in one of their last sessions, the counselor noted that Janet had asked Perry if he had told the counselor about what happened at Bass, Berry & Sims. And I don't know, like, if this is credible, like, source, you know, if that was totally true, I don't know. But I just make the point that maybe Janet had recently found out about what happened, and, like, that's maybe what caused the fight, and then ultimately, like, why she's missing today. So, and then Janet actually had an appointment with a divorce lawyer then like scheduled for that next day on August 16th. So that was the day after she went missing. And then I also noted that the cleaning lady said she had seen a book about divorce on Janet's nightstand around this time. So, it just like helps us speculate, okay, did they get in a fight? Were they going to divorce? Because also if they got divorced too, she had like a lot of assets in her name. Like I said, her parents were very wealthy. So the home was in their name. I mean, sorry, the home was in her name. Okay. So I think she not that he didn't have anything, but if they would have gotten divorced, you know, it could have been one of those things where he was left out of a lot of the assets. But, okay. So going back to the 15th. Perry reported Janet had left around 8:30 p.m. He called his in-laws around midnight, letting them know that Janet had left and not returned. Her parents started searching for her the next day. It was noted that Perry called several other people before her parents, like his brother and sister, a friend, and then finally calling them, which they kind of found that strange. And because they also like lived not very far either. So
yeah, like you would call the people closest to her. Like,
yeah, like hey. His brother and sister live in Chicago, I think. So it just didn't make sense.
Yeah.
The cleaning lady, the Marches had a cleaning lady, like I said, and a nanny who both reported to their home on the 16th. Perry told them that Janet had left for Los Angeles to visit her brother. I think he actually told one that she was going to visit her brother, and then like the other that she was going on a business trip. So just like kind of different stories. Mm-hmm. The cleaning lady said that the place had looked like it was already cleaned, and Perry told her not to clean the playroom. The nanny noted that when Janet had traveled in the past, she always had let her know before. So it was just strange that Janet didn't tell her she was leaving. Also, Samson had previously scheduled a play date with one of his friends, and his mom, Marissa Moody, said that when, so she came over, dropped her son off, and she said she only spoke to the nanny. And when she dropped him off, like Perry never came out of his office to greet her. And she said she wasn't like totally surprised by this because he wasn't always very nice to her. Marissa says she did see a rolled up rug outside of the playroom, which is the same playroom the cleaning lady was told not to clean. And when she returned to pick up her son, Perry and the rug were both gone. And many people believe Janet was rolled up in this rug. So that's about it. There was really nothing else about the rug other than Mary said that she saw, Marissa said that she saw Samson like jumping up and down on the rug, and people think that he was possibly jumping up and down on his mom, which is just horrible. She was also like very small. She was 5 foot, maybe 5 foot four, like 104 pounds, like, you know, very petite woman. So,
yeah,
I mean, she could have easily been in that rug and not been seen.
Yeah.
If it was like a very big, like, I think she described it as being like a large oriental rug. Mm-hmm. So Perry claims that Janet left him a to-do list titled Janet's 12-day vacation. He used that to convince Janet's parents not to call the police right away. So they actually waited 2 weeks later, or 2 weeks before they called the police on August 26th. There was a lot of issues with this list. Many people believe that Perry wrote it. Janet's mother said she would normally write her list out instead of typing them. And when Janet typed emails, she never used capital letters. And she, and this letter did have normal capitalization, which that was something Perry would do. She also was known to date her list at the top of the page, and this list was dated at the bottom. Again, something Perry would do. People feel like Janet would have mentioned the play date if she really made this list, because I believe when Marissa came over with her son, Samson had to like go ask his dad. Like, his dad didn't know that they were there. So they just were like, if she really would have left this list, like, she probably would have mentioned the first thing happening the next day. Also, her son Samson had a birthday party scheduled for August 25th. If she was really going for this 12-day vacation, this would have her missing for her son's birthday party, which didn't make sense to anyone. His actual birthday was on the 27th, which would match the 12-day time frame, but still, she would not miss her son's party. She, like 2 days before when she went missing, had sent out the invitation. So, yeah, just not something that I feel like a mom who's planning a party is going to miss. This list was on... So, the list and the hard drive from the computer that this list were on were both gone before the police could investigate it. Janet's brother did see it on the computer, but he was unable to print it. And he stated that he did see the timestamp of the note was 8:17 p.m. on August 15th. Mark also mentioned that in court, he had seen a 6-page long list on the computer made by Janet describing the times Perry had wronged her. So, just some more things to that kind of add up with the fight and the divorce and everything that could have led up to this night. So on September 7th, Janet's car was found at an apartment complex on Harding Road. And it was mentioned that her car had, like, the people who were living there said her car had been there for some time. And some of her belongings were still in the car, like her purse, which had like credit cards and stuff. And nothing had been, like, her credit cards, none of that had been used since she went missing. So a suitcase was packed with clothes. They also, I read too, like, and I think I forgot to say this yesterday, but there was like flip-flops or like sandals placed, like, they said it looked like they were literally just like placed in the passenger side, like, floorboard. Which they thought was strange. I don't know why they note that. I don't know. That was just a thing I saw, like, several times. So maybe seeing it in person was, like, stranger than reading it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Was it supposed to be, like, someone was sitting as the passenger and took their shoes off?
Maybe. I don't know. They like said her? Also that, like, the driver's seat was, like, pulled up all the way and the passenger seat was, like, pulled back. So just another kind of weird, I couldn't really make sense of any of that, but yeah, so that September, while the police continued to look for Janet's body, Perry took the kids and moved to Chicago where his siblings were living. Janet's parents did not want to be separated from the children, so they filed for visitation rights in Illinois. 1999, the grandparents were awarded with visitation rights, and Perry and the kids fled to Mexico, where his dad was living. And so, in response to that, Janet's parents filed a wrongful death case against Perry and won. I think it was like $130 million. It was a lot.
Wow.
Yeah. And what, but I think it ultimately got appealed. But when he failed to show in, or he failed to show in court, so they won. But I'm assuming they did that to try to get him back. Well, they probably did it for many reasons, but probably one of the reasons was to get him back from Mexico with the kids. There was a lot of legal battles over the custody of the children, but I think ultimately they got custody of them. And also, while in Mexico, Perry met another woman and I think ended up getting married and having another kid.
Oh.
Yeah. So, just a random fact. But speaking of his father, Perry's father, he was a little bit of a shady character. Janet's parents had actually bought Arthur's home in Michigan after his home had been foreclosed. And in the records, it stated that he just, like, stopped paying rent. And so they ultimately, like, sold the home. And then when he came, like, he came to Nashville at that point, and Janet's parents let him stay with them for a while. So they were just, like, very good people, and he was just, like, not – he was almost, like, abusing the kindness that mm-hmm. they were giving him. And so even with all their help, he still filed for bankruptcy in 1991. So he just was a little bit of a shady guy. In 2005, Perry was arrested and extradited from Mexico. While in the Davison County jail, he offered his cellmate money in order to kill Janet's parents, and Arthur was involved in setting this up as well. So Arthur and Perry were both charged with solicitation of first-degree murder. And then in August of 2006, a trial was held in Chattanooga. And I believe they did this to, like, because it was so popular in Nashville to, you know, get rid of some of the bias, I guess. Or there's a word for that when it's, like, a really popular crime. I can't remember what they call it. But just, like, that's been on the news. And mm-hmm. it's, like, everyone's kind of formed their own opinions. I don't know what that's called. But Perry's father had taken a plea deal for the murder for hire plot and agreed to testify against his son. And he said in court that his son had killed Janet on the night of August 15th, and Arthur helped bury the body in Bowling Green, Kentucky. So while they drove to Bowling Green, stayed in the motel, and while Perry was there, or Perry stayed back, and Arthur drove his Jeep and buried the body, which I thought was kind of a weird point, which I'm like, Perry, are you like, I don't know. It just seemed weird that his dad was like, you stay here and I'll go do this for you.
Yeah, I guess at that point, were people looking for, he hadn't reported her like missing yet, right?
Well, no, I guess not. No, I don't think so. I probably not.
Maybe he thought like people would be looking for him.
Maybe.
The car or something? I don't know.
Yeah. And I did say, I said this yesterday, but Perry had gotten the tires replaced on that Jeep.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And the people at the tire shop were like, these tires are like, they were fine. They did not need to be replaced. That mean they didn't mention anything about there being like a lot of dirt or I don't know. Maybe he did that so they couldn't trace the tire tracks. I don't know. But I just thought that was a strange I also thought maybe Arthur did that so it would be like it would be him less incriminating for his son.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, I didn't bury the body.
Yeah, so I don't know. So police did try to get Arthur to show him where she was buried, but he was never able to find the location. And I mean, this is like 10 years later. So I don't know if he like was doing it on purpose or he honestly just probably didn't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Arthur was ultimately sentenced to 5 years in prison, and he died in prison after being there for 3 months. Perry was found guilty on all charges on August 17th and received 56 years in prison. He is not eligible for parole until 2038. He was found guilty of second-degree murder, abuse of a corpse, and evidence tampering for the hard drive's disappearance. And before he was even found guilty of the murder, he, in April of 2022, but this was 2006. I'm like way off in my years. He was found guilty of embezzling $23,000 from his father-in-law, or I'm sorry, from his father-in-law's firm 2 years before Janet disappeared. So like, I mean, he was just not a good guy. And then 2 months later, after that, he was convicted for the murder conspiracy charges against his in-law. So he had already gotten like, you know, a bad rap before he even got to this point. So, my sources were Wikipedia, Remax.com for the house information, Middle Tennessee Mysteries by Michelle Willard, The Charlie Project, and CNN.com.
And now a word from our sponsors.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
That's crazy.
I know. Really, it was
crazy. And I was thinking about this because I was like, well, okay, if his story was that she went on a 12-day vacation, mm-hmm. then he wouldn't think that she was missing until like days after that 12 days, like mm-hmm. she didn't come home.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like, well, if he said that she said or he thought that she went on a 12-day vacation, then it wouldn't be that she was missing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, that's a weird cover
well,
story.
Well, I think that's why he was trying to convince the in-laws not to call, because he was like, but I guess I see what you're saying. Like, her not returning shouldn't have been a big deal.
Or, I mean, her leaving shouldn't have been mm-hmm. a big deal, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, I see what you're saying.
Vacation, like, it should have been like day 15 when he was like, oh, she didn't come back from her 12 days.
Yeah, like it doesn't add up.
Yeah, unless he was just trying to buy that 12 days to like get rid of her body and stuff.
Yeah.
Before people like realize she wasn't mm-hmm. there. I don't know.
No, I mean, I definitely think he was probably using the 12 days to buy time.
Yeah.
And he probably did 12 days because the son's birthday was that 27th, but yeah. The mom called the day before because she was like, she didn't come back for the birthday party on the 25th. Yeah. So, it's sad, mm-hmm. that she was never seen again.
Yeah. And the kids grew up without parents, really.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. I know. I just all the crazy stuff of like going to Chicago, then going to Mexico, and then coming back. I mean, God, they probably were so confused.
Yeah.
There was also like speculation that people were involved. Like they said they saw him talking to, he did like tax law at Bassberry and Sims. And mm-hmm. apparently like some of his clients were like a little bit shady, like had gotten in trouble before some stuff. And so one person said they saw him and like one of his former clients arguing in like a parking garage. And they thought maybe that former client was involved. like helping hide the body, because maybe he did that because Perry knew about things that I don't know. That just Perry seemed to be like involved in this shady world.
Yeah.
Like he had this a little bit of a double life, and he was a little bit of a creep for the letters.
Yeah. Mm.
That was weird.
Did you ever watch Better Call Saul?
Okay, so I started it, and then when I saw, and I didn't get very far into season one, and then when I saw that Walter White and Jesse are coming back for season four, I was like, oh, I gotta watch it. So I've started watching it again, but haven't, like, I don't think I've finished season one yet, but I,
yeah, it just makes me think of, like, corrupt lawyers.
Yeah, yeah. Like, have you watched it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I loved, yeah, I loved Breaking Bad. I watched it like twice.
Yeah, it's more of like a slow burn, I guess, than Breaking Bad. Like, it's not quite as dramatic.
Yeah.
But it's really good.
That's where we named our cat Walter White, if you're wondering where Walter comes from.
I thought Walter came from something else.
No, it's Walter White.
Oh.
From, well, yeah, from Brian Cranston or whatever his name is. Cranston. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I love anything that they're in. I watched the like movie El Camino that they did as a follow.
I
watched that too. Mm-hmm. Big fan. So trying to get back into that, maybe that's why I'm struggling, is because maybe it's a little slow, but I like it. I do like it. It's just I'm dragging a little bit.
Yeah.
So. But anyways.
All right. Well, my case is the case of Summer Wells, who is to this day still missing. She disappeared on June 15th, 2021 from her home in Rogersville, Tennessee, which is East Tennessee, like a little bit northeast of Knoxville. So she was 5 years old at the time, and she was home planting flowers in her yard with her mom, Candace Bly, and her grandma. And her three brothers were inside. They were a few years older than her now. I think we looked this up yesterday. They're 12, 11, or 11, 10, and 9, or 12, 11, and 9. And she had finished up outside and had gone inside and went down into their basement where their playroom was. And Summer's mom, Candace, said that about 2 minutes later, she came inside and the boys said, oh, Summer is downstairs. So she went down to the basement and Summer was gone. And there was a like basement door, back door that led outside that the boys often kept unlocked that Candace thinks Summer escaped from or was taken from. So Summer's dad, Donald Wells, was at work at the time, but he was the one to call 911. We talked about this yesterday that
yeah.
I felt like that was a little bit weird.
Weird.
I would think the mother, like immediately as soon as you realize your kid is missing, you would call 911.
But I was thinking too, like if she's panicking and she calls her husband because she's like, you know, you don't know what you're going to do,
right.
How you're going to react. So maybe she's panicking, calls her husband, and she's like inconsolable. And so he does it. That was, I kind of thought about that.
Yeah, that makes sense. But Donald's theory from the start is that someone took her from the basement. He doesn't think that she like wandered out on her own. And he first says that he thinks someone grabbed her and covered her mouth while taking her because he said that, quote, our neighbor heard a scream, a really funny scream. He thinks that the person took her down the dirt road that led away from their home and left with her in a car. But to this day, there's no evidence to support an abduction, and there's been no confirmation of a funny scream heard by a neighbor.
Also, like, did the mom and the brothers confirm the funny scream? Okay.
No.
Yeah, so it sounds like he's just talking.
Yeah, just and nonsense. I mean, if there are three boys were home and mom and grandma were not that far, and it was only from, like, one level away, and it was not mm-hmm. a big home. Like, someone else should have heard that.
Yeah, that's just kind of a random point, I feel like, that was made.
Yeah. So there's like a handful of kind of weird facts that people are pointing to that seem a little suspicious depending on who you think is involved in this. One thing is that Summer's hair, her head was shaved, and her dad said it was because she was a tomboy and wanted to be like her dad and her brothers who had short shaved hair, which I think is totally fine. I mean, whatever. That's not that suspicious to me.
No.
And 6 weeks after Summer's disappearance in July, her three brothers were removed from their home by Child Protective Services. And the reason for this was never given by authorities, but their dad, Donald, said that it was because their house had become a dangerous place. He said he and Candace were receiving threats and he was drinking heavily, which he was known to be a heavy drinker. In mm-hmm. 2020, he was arrested for domestic assault and possession of a handgun while under the influence. And that was in conjunction with a fight that he had with Candace at the time. And he was also arrested for a DUI in November of 2021, so after she disappeared. Donald also said that he believed Summer was dead and she would never come back home, which we also touched on this kind of
yeah.
like, you would think that as a parent, you would hold out hope and you would say, you know, we still believe, we have to believe that one day she'll come back. And she's
yeah. And to their, yeah, they'll do like the things on like when they do interviews of like, if you're out there, I mean, maybe cause she was young, I don't know, but how quickly after she went missing did he make that statement? Do you know?
It was like a few months.
Okay. Yeah. So that's pretty soon. Like yeah. we talked about this where Janet's parents like didn't file her officially dead until 2000, which was like 4 years later. So,
yeah,
you know, they never like gave up hope. And so it was just strange that he was so easy to be like, yeah, she's probably dead.
Right, right. Candace and Donald also started a YouTube channel, and I looked and tried to find this channel, and I don't know if it's been taken down or if it's just that hard to find, but I didn't see it. And they've also appeared on Dr. Phil, and Candace, like, I guess, stormed off the stage on this episode. And again, I mean, I can see if she felt like she was being like wrongfully accused or like the questions were too much or something. I could see.
Yeah. It almost seems like they're like chasing like the clout of their daughter being missing.
Right. Yes. They like the attention.
Attention. Mm-hmm. It's kind of strange. And
another thing that I forgot to mention yesterday, Summer's aunt, Rosemary mm-hmm. Bly, vanished from what? Wisconsin in 2009, and her car was found like 30 minutes from her home, but she has never been seen. So, I mean, it may or may not be related because they don't know what happened to either her aunt or Summer, so like they can't really say.
And whose sibling is that?
It's Candace's sister.
Okay.
Her mom's sister.
Okay. Weird.
So, yeah. Very weird stuff happening.
Yeah. Family. Like how many families have like two people missing? People.
I know.
And like the intermediate family.
Yeah. I know.
It's weird.
It's odd. So there, despite like the fact that there's been really no answers, there's been like so many searches and they've had like thousands of people and like teams trying to search. There's been helicopters, airplanes, cadaver and search dogs and search and rescue teams on the case. But they're, if you look up their house, I was looking at pictures and it's like a house in like this circle of like woods. So there's like a gravel or like dirt like circle around the house that I guess is like a driveway and like a little bit of grass, but right surrounding like that circle, it's like just really tall trees and woods and stuff. So they said that that terrain made it really difficult to search. And I guess they had a dog that like carried the scent like kind of down into the woods and then lost it, which is, I mean, that's not surprising, but it's just made it really, really hard for them to figure out what happened. Mm-hmm. And also because there's really no evidence that she's been abducted, police say that it's possible that she wandered off and got lost in those woods. And we talked about yesterday, like possibility of like an animal or something getting mm-hmm. to her. And I just don't know, because Candace said that it was only 2 minutes had passed before she went in to look for Summer in the basement. And I think, you know, a 5-year-old, how far can they get in 2 minutes? But maybe it was 15 minutes. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, like her deception of time is not correct.
Right. And so in February of this year, Summer would have turned 6. And the Amber Alert, like updated for her age, is age 6 years old, sex female, race white, hair blonde, although shaved at the time,
mm-hmm.
Eyes blue, height 3 feet, weight 40 pounds, missing from Rogersville, Tennessee, and missing since June 15th, 2021.
So I guess, okay, so she could have wandered off, but like, we, you know, you and I talked about this yesterday, like we doubt that if it was so hard to search that area that someone could have come in and gotten her. Like if it was that much terrain, like
right. Like how fast if her mom and her grandma and her 3 brothers were home, mm-hmm. like how did someone get in, even though it was the basement, how did someone mm-hmm. get like approach the house and like get out with her with no one knowing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's like that scenario, which doesn't really make sense to either of us. And then I feel like the scenario of her wandering off and maybe getting eaten by something makes a little more sense to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then, especially since they say there's like no signs of abduction.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, I guess the last one is like, okay, the parents sound like they kind of have some issues. So, mm-hmm. you know, did the mom maybe get mad, punishing her or whatever, accidentally kill her, calls the husband, and then, like, they kind of go from there. But I feel like it would be hard for the boys. I don't know. Maybe the boys really didn't witness anything or don't know anything, but I feel like those are like the two more likely scenarios.
Yeah, I don't feel like she was abducted.
No.
And I mean, she hasn't been seen, and that doesn't mean that whoever abducted her, like, didn't dispose mm-hmm. of her, but like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's weird. Well, and you know, too, there's always the case of like Elizabeth Smart, who was abducted from her house yeah. and like not far from her parents' house at all. And they yeah. searched and everything. But I doubt we have another Elizabeth Smart case.
That was both of our like biggest fears when we were
little. Oh my God. Terrifying. Yeah, yeah. I feel like I used to hear people like outside my window all the time. It was just, but then again, I continued to consume this type of content. So it's just a vicious cycle.
I know. I would like stare at my window to fall asleep. But
although as an adult, I don't worry too much anymore about being abducted from my house with 100 and how many pound dog he is. But I get more worried, like, I guess, like out, like in like parking lots and stuff. Like I'm always mm-hmm. looking in my back seat and,
yeah.
So the fear is still there. It's just moved different. To, yeah, scenario. But, yeah, well.
And my sources were WJHL.com, which is the Johnson City News and the U.S. Sun.
Hopefully we'll have an update on one of these cases. That would be really cool to have something. Unfortunately, I feel like both of our cases will not end in a happy ending. Obviously, more for Janet than for Summer, but still, I don't know, how long can a 5-year-old be missing? And I don't know, just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
We also talked about too yesterday, we talked about how we felt like there were we felt like we saw in the news there were several cases of children going missing. And we mentioned how one case we saw recently where it was a dad who abducted the son, where I think the custody, there was like custody issues, and the mom and her brother got, and you said that these people were from Hendersonville, so you kind of were watching it more like real life, I guess, or
yeah,
real time.
I was trying to look up the name, but on Facebook, when this boy went missing, a lot of my Facebook friends or contacts were posting, you know, like, be on the lookout. And I think I have some people who were friends with his mother and went to school with his mom.
Okay. Yeah. So I guess they ended up changing a rule where now they'll do Amber Alerts for children abducted by parents, which I feel like is good, you know, especially for their case, that could have, I feel like, helped them a lot in the beginning, because he was missing, I think, for a little while. Like,
yeah, I'm trying to find, why can't I think of his name?
Yeah, but so yeah, we've seen a couple of stories like that, unfortunately, here in Tennessee. It's like, I don't know if that's maybe a common thing, but it just seemed like it was happening a lot here on the local news. But yeah, I hope somebody gets answers and justice for Summer and
Noah Claire.
Okay, Noah. Yes, yeah, yes. That was him. But yeah, so that's all we got for our cases today, and we'll be back with our normal In Search Of once we figure out a theme, and you know, we'll figure it out. We'll probably get it done at the last minute like we're doing today, but hey, that's what happens when you work full time and you have a hobby on the side that you're trying to turn into a job, which we're
trying
at, like,
to reverse
we're like $3 now, so we're
big time.
Yeah, we're moving on up, y'all. Before you know it, we'll be hanging out with Britt and Ashley.
Going on tour.
Yeah. Oh, God, I cannot imagine us on tour. That would be the most boring show. Literally us just, like, sitting. Literally, okay, if we had a tour, we would need, like, a couch and, like a very comfortable, like, pillow. Because we're always, like, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm currently in my bed. You're currently on your couch. So, yeah, we would. Everyone could come, like, in their comfy clothes. It would be super chill.
It would be like a sleepover.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, bye, Sam.
Bye, Ashton.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.